Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hey everyone, Jenny here. And you know, Singapore is celebrating our bicentennial, 200 years. And when Sir Stamford Raffles first came to Singapore, he also brought with him the Bible and opened the doors wide for many missionaries to come live in Singapore, work in Singapore, and as a gateway to China. And right now, 200 years later, we are seeing Singapore in a very privileged place where we are able to impact the nations around us, sending out missionaries. And today, to talk with me about a very unique form of mission is Mr. Simon Siao from CRU. Hi, Simon.
Hi.
So, Simon, tell us a bit more when I mentioned this very unique form of missions that you're involved in, which is known as a digital mission.
Well, I serve as a creative catalyst and a digital strategist. And what that means, I'm part of a team of missionaries who provide spiritual and strategic leadership in digital missions. So you may be saying, what's that, you know?
Yes, what's that?
Essentially, that is getting people thinking and excited about using all forms of digital to get to our mission faster and more effectively.
So using the digital as a delivery system and as a platform?
In some sense, a delivery system, but it's also thinking about how you activate the creative gifts and talents in the body of Christ.
Cool.
To be on mission.
Yeah, so it sounds like this is particularly real for the next gen because they inhabit the digital space.
Most definitely.
And they are, in fact,
next gen or even current gen because we all bring different resources and imaginations as well.
Okay, so tell us one or two very specific ways that you guys are doing that.
So, as you mentioned, I am one of the co-founders of Indigitus, and that I know that word sounds a little strange. It actually means indigenous plus digital.
Uh-huh.
And the expression of digital in its own indigenous context, where whatever language or context or geography, but the digital ways of, you know, connecting with people. But Indigitus is actually a network, a movement of people who want to use their gifts and talents for God in the digital space. And one of the things that we do is actually we host what you call hackathons.
Oh, wow. Okay, you guys are hackers. Now I know. I'm getting the idea.
But we don't steal any money, all right? We don't do any bad things.
Good hacks, good hacks.
Good hacks.
A life hack. Okay, so what happens at these hackathons?
So, lots of fun. Over a weekend, in fact, this is a global missional hackathon. So anytime you could have 30 to 40 cities over the same weekend, they are hacking for missions.
Cool.
So you're saying what that is, what is that, right? They basically come.
Like rob the rich to give to the poor.
Robin Hood.
Sorry. I'm getting carried away here, yes?
But they use, they bring all their gifts and talents. So, so maybe they code, they design, or they're a programmer. But they may be also a writer, a filmmaker, or they're great at social media or digital marketing. But when they come together, we also invite those with missional challenges or problem statements to come forward.
Okay.
So a mission agency or a Christian organization could present something, put it on the table to say, hey, we really want to get to this problem.
Right.
But we are finding it hard. What digital solutions do you have? And so these folks will form into teams and try to tackle those problems and come up with some prototypes that actually will have some impact in carrying the mission forward.
That's exciting. I do know for a fact that right now technology is used across many, many spheres. Just this morning, I heard on BBC that in Uganda, they came up with an app. Like 10,000 farmers are on the app using that app to be able to update information on the soil condition and stuff
Like
that. So it's along these lines, right?
Exactly.
But yours is talking about a missioner focus.
Exactly.
So expand for us, what is this missioner focus? Is it just four spiritual laws telling people about Jesus? I think it's much more than that, right?
It is much more than that. I mean, of course, when you talk about digital missions as a whole, any one of us could be on that mission, right? If we're equipped with a digital device and God has blessed us with social networks, then we can be an influence in that space. So that's the most basic form of digital missions. But you carry it all the way forward to those who have digital talents.
Ah.
Basically, those that whom God has uniquely written technology into their story.
Right.
Now they are saying, I wonder how God could use me. You know, I have a job here in this tech company, but when my church pastor hears about what I do, they say, can you help me with the PowerPoint? And they're like, yes, I can. But, you know, they are not tapping on the full potential of what that could mean.
Mm.
Right. So your question about what do they then work on? It would be, for example, a mission agency might say, hey, we're really wanting to translate the Bible, you know, in more effective ways. How could we use machine learning or AI, artificial intelligence and things like that? And there are actually ways that people use that in the commercial space and more, you know, and discovering how. And so, in fact, just a couple of days back, we were in discussion with some Christians in this city, in this very city, about using some of the tool sets that SIL and Wycliffe has come up with. And it could actually accelerate, you know, the translation of some of the hard languages to the minority languages much quicker.
So SIL is the Summer Institute of Linguistics
and
Wycliffe Bible Translators. Wow, that's really exciting. Yeah, I think the rest of us who are not very clued in, like me, all we know is algorithms are really powerful and they are capturing data of our lives. Okay, so yeah, I sort of have a hint of sort of a very vague understanding of what you're talking about. But I know some of my listeners are much more aware of what you're saying. So tell us more about some of these projects you have done that you personally have witnessed has been really transformational for the people involved.
Mm-hmm. What comes to mind is about 2 years ago, YWAM, Youth with a Mission, came forward to present a problem statement. And they have a mercy ministry that reaches out to some of our street ladies in Geylang. And the problem statement was, you know, I would walk down the streets and I could engage with the pimps and the ladies and have good conversations with them. But now when I go on the streets, I don't find them.
Oh.
They are online and I don't know where to discover them. Mm. But I know maybe there's one or two key words or phrases that I see them using. So she presented this problem to the teams at the hackathon and there were folks there that understood how to tackle this.
Wow.
They begin right away into the night, in fact, writing, you know, code and programming languages that I don't even know of, you know, but they got creative, they got innovative and said, you know, we can pair these things together. And there are some words that I don't even understand, like neural networks and, you know, AI and stuff. But what happened from that project was that then they now understood better what was the situation. Using technology, it helped tackle some of the missional challenges and fill in the missional gaps.
Wow. Yeah. So it's really great even for these tech guys to find that, you know, all the stuff that they do, coding and everything, or the UX design, has very real life applications.
Exactly. And what happens is that, so for some of these folks, right, as we were talking right before the show, we were saying that their eyes light up. You mean my line of code can actually touch a girl's life? Save her? They never made that connection before, you know, and now they're like, wow. So what happened in that particular story is that some of them actually set aside time voluntarily. One girl even quit her job and joined YWAM as a volunteer. You know, so that's the power of, like, when they see God is using me and in very tangible ways, and God wrote technology into my story for such a time as this.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. That's really about redeeming every season and everything that God allows in our world, right? Because sometimes, admittedly, as a church, we tend to be a bit reactive whenever there are social changes and cultural upheavals. And we, understandably, we are called to be guardians and custodians of the truth. But sometimes we also tend to veer on the side of caution so much that, but you guys are out there in the front saying, let's ride this wave. Let's run with this new stuff that's coming. So what are some upcoming things they are looking forward to doing around the world?
Well, just a point on that, Jenny. The thing that always grips my heart is that we have to bring the gospel, bring the unchanging gospel to a changing world.
Yep.
You know, and we know the gospel of, you know, hope that brings us hope and love, you know, is doesn't change, but the recipient, as it were, is always changing his address, you know. So you need to find ways to forward, constantly forward it to a new address.
That's true.
Yeah. And so that's a piece that why we need to think of fresh ways. So what are we doing? Lots of things, but if you're here in Singapore and you're listening to this podcast, one opportunity you don't want to miss is the Indigenous Hashtag, which is the hackathon, as I talked about, happening October 4th to 6th. That's a huge opportunity for you to discover how could God use my gifts and talents. And you may think it's small or little, but actually God can, together with the body of Christ, because we're not talking about you alone trying to figure it out.
Right.
You know, the other parts of the body come together. Many churches are represented, Christian organizations as well, and they come together and try to solve that. So I think that's a huge opportunity for you to consider. That's one that I would put to your listeners. Yeah,
I think that sounds great, man, because sometimes the people who are very techy also tend to be very solo in the operation. Mm-hmm. Right? If you are you're a hacker, you can just work all by yourself in your little basement or somewhere. And so you're calling them out to be part of something larger in the body of Christ. I think that's really good for them too. So speaking about the body of Christ, digital space is like this universal language today. So I am sure what you are doing touches the larger body of Christ globally as well.
Yeah, for sure. So yes, one of the cool things about digital is that it crosses a lot of boundaries and it gives us opportunities in spaces sometimes we don't think about. I'll give you one quick example that I really love. This story about some guys actually that come together as accountability, you know, partners. And they decided for some reason to put a Facebook page together. And they gave it a funny name called Boiling Waters. They're based in the Philippines. Little did they know this so-called, you know, fun idea is actually a God idea. As of today, they have about 1.6 million likes and follows. This is without paying a single cent, you know.
It's amazing, a level of engagement.
It's crazy. And the funny thing is that if you go to their page, boilingwaters.ph, you know, you would see that they actually are just kind of sharing biblical principles without being preachy on love and relationships. And they use memes to do that, you know. And it's funny, it's engaging, but it draws people. And for me, the cool part is that, you know, they've raised up literally hundreds of volunteers that are answering Facebook messages. And every once in a while, quite often actually, they would have people writing it with heart-wrenching stories of, you know, tell me more. I want to take the life of my child. I want to abort my baby, but I'm lost. What should I do? You know, I want to take my life, you know. And but then they will be led to a different conversation where eventually they find Jesus.
Wow, that's exciting. How about in spaces where, you know, you can't have formal churches, like in some countries?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So, you know, this is where sometimes it, you know, it stretches us because we're so used to, especially in Singapore, the availability of, you know, walking into a space and just worshiping God freely. There are many places that you can't do that. And so for our brothers and sisters in those parts of the world, we actually even have, you know, our strategies that provide them to do discipleship in with Skype, you know, they call it Skype-o-ship, you know, and or even attend online church. So some of our strategies with Crew actually has opened up doors to allow, you know, upwards of 80,000 people engage in an online church on a weekly basis.
Wow, that is amazing. So, that is a very real need in these
exactly.
parts of
I mean,
world,
you're
right?
talking about a huge community of believers that has no walls, no building. You know, but people coming genuinely seeking to grow, wanting to discover, but they cannot just walk into a space and say, can I be a Christian? What, you know?
So what about unique challenges that you face in the digital space? Because it's so porous, right? So what, I mean, sometimes things happen there that kind of could take on a life of its own. You know?
Exactly.
What besides, I mean, that and other challenges you may have?
Yeah, so I think, you know, just coming off that story, I just said security is often a concern, especially in operate in those type of spaces. You could get shut down, and we do get shut down in some of those spaces. And but you get creative, you know. And in fact, your searches are getting creative.
Right.
We found out that people would come from places that we thought the internet was banned or that site was banned. And they somehow, because they are so hungry and thirsty, they figure out ways to come to you. I think other concerns or challenges would be, you know, how do we represent Christ meaningfully and well? And that's always a challenge that you and I face as well. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we need to be salt and light.
Mm.
And even in strategies like that, we're not always, you know, kind of coming to say, hey, you know, this is what you need to know. But it's always about listening and understanding what journey they're on and then helping them take one next best step.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you also see the need there for both in, for example, the boiling waters story as well as this other story about the closed countries, that there comes a point of time where we need to have actual interactions?
Yes.
Where people are concerned and people need to travel in and meet these people and incarnate the presence and the message of Christ. Yeah. Has that been happening too?
Yes, there has been. I think this is where we have to use technology to its best and then, you know, make those connections. And it's happened, you know, people will get enfolded into communities. But the thing that I always remind myself that, you know, behind every screen is a person.
That's true.
And behind that person is a name.
Mm.
And the name has a story. Mm. And that story matters to God.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not in virtual relationships here. These are all real relationships. Mm. But for that moment, whether for security or for anonymity, you know, whatever reasons, they are not ready to reveal themselves.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them not real.
Right.
They are just the more, you know, real people. This girl that writes in the boiling waters, she's real.
Mm.
She just cannot find anywhere else to tell that, you know, raw, real challenges she's facing, but through this Facebook page for now.
Mm.
And then in that case, they actually are discipling her now. So praise the Lord.
That's an amazing story. So now with the young people literally all living in virtual space, do you see this exploding in the coming years? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure about exploding, but I think it's a reality that we all live in, right? We live, play, work, you know, in digital spaces.
Yeah.
And that's also where people ask real questions, life questions, and Christians don't need to avoid it.
Mm.
We, in fact, all the more need to meaningfully occupy it, which I'm really glad about, you know, Cathedral Podcast. You are, in some sense, offering
trying
the opportunity
to occupy a small space.
But people will listen to it, you know, when you don't least expect, you know, and then they find a nugget or a little truth that spurs them on in your walk and helps them live as a light in the marketplace.
Sure, we certainly hope so. That's very much our vision for doing this. So if there is a young person listening in on this right now and they're thinking, this sounds interesting, what would be some practical next steps for them to find out more or to get involved?
Yeah, whether young or old, I think what I would say is that first discover how God has written your story, right? And I think if you pay attention to how digital or technology has been part of that story, and what might be some things that God is prompting you to discover, to step into. Sometimes it could take a little bit of courage and encouragement. Mm. There is a community of believers that are also wrestling with that. I mentioned earlier about Indigitus.
Mm.
You can go to indigitus.sg and that you can get connected with others. You know, they are young business people, they are in design and marketing, or they are programmers.
Mm.
But so I think that's the collaboration and doing it together with the body of Christ is significant. So my encouragement is to press in and find out what God has in store for you, because in our digital world, there's a lot and you need to step up and play a part and sometimes help your leaders think about those ideas. Yeah. And can I just say a word also for if you're a leader or if you are, you know, helping empower young people, I think this is a huge opportunity for you to learn to identify and release and enable some of your young people to dream and try stuff and try different ways to meet needs and also to bring and make Jesus known wherever.
Yeah, I think that's a very good and important thing to say to leaders because, you know, as you are saying that, I was just thinking, imagine if every local church in Singapore or a few churches come together and they're involved in the digital space, we could literally be doing church planting
exactly
digitally, right?
Exactly.
I mean, even if we may not be ready with the old-fashioned somebody career missionary, uproot the entire family and go live somewhere. And obviously some places, even if you are willing to uproot and go and live there, they don't want you there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not open to that sort of thing. But you could be church planting
small local
congregations and that's how it's going to work in some places. It has to be small. It has to be quiet on the side, but it still has to have that life of Christ and that vibrance and that community happening.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really quite exciting.
Yeah.
I really hope I have enough digital skills to do that myself.
You most definitely have.
I'm just so excited now.
Yeah.
With the possibility, just thinking of just the billions that still don't yet know Christ. Mm-hmm. And okay, one final question then. How real is this in, say, third world countries? I mean, you know, some people might say, well, this is all good for the cities and all that.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience or as you project what you're doing, do you think this is something that can really penetrate actually a lot more places?
In developing nations, most definitely. Ironically, sometimes in the cities, because we have so much, we are kind of flooded with technology and too distracted. We don't think about it. From my experience, seeing where some of our brothers and sisters in parts of Africa and China, in fact, you know, Latin America, they are rising up like crazy. Some of the young people, no holds barred, nothing stops them. They just go crazy. Like, what else could we try?
Yeah. You
know? And so it's an issue of course, a lack of resources sometimes, a lack of empowering or release from, you know, leaders. But they're actually pursuing it, you know, just as we are. Yeah.
Wow, that's actually exciting to know.
Yeah.
As a pastor, I am so excited to hear that, but also a little bit concerned with all these young people and like who is caring for them and guiding them. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with us. So digital mission is a real thing. It's been happening. It's going to continue to happen. And more of us should be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us probably can be on board in various ways.
Amen.
Okay, so if I were to say, somebody says, I'm not really techy, I'm not really on social media and all that. How about someone like that who wants to support digital mission? What can they do? Of course, they can pray, but what
That's
else
right.
can they do?
Yeah, I think on the individual level, you know, because digital missions is essentially the spirit-filled act of sharing the good news throughout the world, you know, using digital tools, platforms, and strategies. So, you can learn, you know, pick up, you know, share the gospel through an app like God Tools or Jesus Film. That's an opportunity. I did that recently with a Grab driver. You know, I said, can you just check out this app? And he downloaded it. You know, so those are things that we can already be engaged in digital missions. And you said rightly, we can pray and we can release and empower our younger folks to say, hey, go try, you know. Go crazy, but you know, also be anchored.
Yeah.
You know, as so our part honestly is to, as you say, as a pastoral piece, you know, to like shepherd the hearts of of the young to say, hey, what are the key things you need to be grounded on as you pursue some of these things for Christ?
Yeah. So now, finally, a word as a parent, though. I know many of us who are parents also like, oh gosh, our kids are on the screen so much. And Simon Siao is just telling them, go crazy. So, some caveats as a parent?
When I say go crazy, it's always with the caveat. It's a mission-oriented go crazy.
True.
It's never self-indulgent.
Mm.
It's not for myself. Like, what can I gain? I understand. I have three teenagers and the challenges we face as parents of like, how... can you stop, put that phone down now, you know?
Yeah.
But this is where, you know, yes, I would say... And the most recent thing that I've encouraged some young folks at NYP, I reminded them the statement, if you own something that you cannot give away, you don't own it. It owns you.
Right.
Right. Mm. And for some reason that young people, their eyes, you know, light up and say, oh, I get it. You know, so this thing needs to be, I still need to be the master of it.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. So if you have young people, find ways, may not be that phrase, but find ways to help them see that these things serve us.
Yeah.
We don't serve them.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Simon. Truly, technology is a gift from God to serve the needs of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And to serve human needs. Let us all remember that. And if you're listening to this, go explore digital mission. God bless.
Amen.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.